Turn to Psalms 9 as we start the service. Stand to our feet. The only announcement I have is Brother Alex is here tonight, so let's remember that the Lord will speak to us. Brother Andrew is speaking tonight at Brother Fred Mullins down in South Carolina. So he's probably in an office right now getting ready to speak, to preach. And he had lunch with him today, so just remember that. And they currently plan on splitting it with between Friday and Saturday on their way back. So he figures he'll be pretty tired through all that stuff. So, but we'll see. Psalms 9, verses 10 through 14. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. Amen, amen. And we're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good's gonna happen. Something good it's in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Oh, one more time. We're together again. We're together again in one accord. Something good is gonna happen. Something good, it's in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. As the brothers come forward, I don't have any prayer requests or anything like that. The only thing I can think of is Brother Ernie was talking about his wife, and I haven't heard any more back from that. I emailed him from the Philippines, and he hasn't responded with anything about how his wife's doing. She was in the hospital just swelling up for some reason. So let's remember that in prayer, and all our other brothers and sisters that are overseas. Most of them might not even have had a glass of water today. And we can carry it around anytime we want. But they might have had to drink out of a muddy stream just to get moisture. And so I just always feel for our brothers and sisters that are overseas. But there's many people here that are just dying spiritually also. That's why we're here, is to be a witness and point them to Christ. And yeah, they're in the seed. Just raise it up. Speak to me through Brother Alex tonight as Brother Kent leads us in prayer. Amen. My heavenly home is right at fair. I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Let others seek a home. Traveling on, which flames devour, or waves overflow, I feel like traveling on. Oh yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is light and fair. I feel like traveling on. You know what? The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. I just want to see Him until that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. Way. Yes, I feel like traveling on. Hallelujah. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is right at fair. I feel like traveling on. Get your feet there moving, don't it? That's all we do is progress forward. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, saved and sanctified I am. All my sins are under the blood. I've been redeemed. If you have love and you want more, if you have love and you want more, if you have love and you want more, shout hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory! I've been redeemed. And that's not all. There's a lot. There's more beside. And that's not all. There's more beside. And that's not all. There's more beside. I've been to the river and I've been baptized. All my sins are under the blood. I've been redeemed. So what? You can talk about me all that you please. You can talk about me all that you please. You can talk about me. I'm gonna talk about you down on my knees. All my sins are under the blood. I've been redeemed. You know what now? Now Satan's mad. And I'm so glad. Now Satan's mad. And I'm so glad. Now Satan's mad. And I'm so glad. He lost the sinner that he thought he had. All my sins are under the blood. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Oh yes, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Saved and sanctified I am. All my sins are under the blood. I've been redeemed. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. And no more clouds in the sky. Oh, no more tears to dim the eyes. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. Oh, what a day, glorious day. Shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day. There'll be no sorrow there. Hallelujah! No more burdens to bear. And no more sickness, no pain. And no more parting over there. And forever I will be. For me, what a day, glorious day that will be. Sing with all your heart. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by
believe it's far off. Amen. It might seem like it in this life, but when you think about things through the lens of eternity, it takes on a whole different perspective. Well, he's been good to us. Amen. Certainly glad to be here with you once again this evening. And we just trust the Lord would have his way tonight in this place and in each heart. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. We think about him and what it's going to be like to walk with him. But, you know, he's here with us right now by his Spirit. And if you have a need, he's willing to walk with you every day in this life as well. He promised to never leave us or forsake us. You believe that tonight? Let's just bow our heads and look toward him now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the promise that you would be with us. Lord, that you've never left us or forsaken us. We can boldly say that the Lord is our helper tonight. And fathers, we've gathered together in this place in the name above every other name. We just ask, Lord, that you'd come and may every spirit be subject to you. May you have your way in this place and in each heart, Father. May you come and do that which only you can do. Lord, we commit not just the service, but our lives and our hearts into your hands now as a loving and a faithful creator. I ask that you bless and sanction this time. We hallow thy holy name in this place. We give you all the praise and glory and honor. I ask that you come and speak words of life. Help me as a man to move out of the way and to touch each need in this place. May you come and do it tonight, we ask. And we thank you for all these things. We commit it into your hands. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the church says, amen. God bless you. The book of Nehemiah tonight. We'll look in the book of Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. You're all working people and stuff, so I'll dispense with the pleasantries. But God bless you all. Good to see you tonight. As you turn to Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, I've been talking about a greater world and doing kind of a series on that. I've done a couple parts so far here, I believe. So I'd like to continue on this same kind of a line of thought tonight. And we're going to look in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter. We'll read verses 8 to 18. And I'll have you be seated after this. I'd really like to read the whole chapter. It's neat if you read it because they're having a church service really similar to what we do today. They got a wood pulpit. The speaker's up on a platform on the pulpit. He opens the Bible. He reads it. They all say amen. It's great. It's probably like the closest picture to what we're doing tonight. So here we are. Amen. Fulfilling the word in our day. And so in the 8th chapter here, the scripture says this. And of course, the priest in Ezra, he's the chief among them here or whatever, but they're reading these scriptures here. And it says this in verse 8. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So for context, they've rebuilt the wall, they've rebuilt the temple, and they've just found the word. The word's been restored to them, the worship's been restored. And so now they are reading this to the people. Verse 9, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshath, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I pray that's your testimony tonight as well. Amen. Verse 11, so the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Hallelujah. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, until that day, had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days. And on the 8th day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated tonight. And maybe a little bit of a strange starting point, but I believe the Lord will just unfold it to us tonight. But I'd like to speak tonight on the restorer of a greater world, the restorer of a greater world. Amen. And so we talked about the things already that were restored. And if you're familiar with this book, you understand where I'm coming to with this. And I'm saying all this to make this point tonight. You know, these people, they got together and they heard from the Lord, and God gave them a reason to rejoice, and they had great rejoicing and mirth and gladness. And we realize it's because God had restored them. Amen. And it's understandable when they read the law of Moses at first, why they would be upset, because they realized they were condemned in the sight of God. They realized everything that had happened to them and to their fathers. They had deserved it because of their sin. They realized they were in transgression. But Ezra and the priests and Nehemiah, they make the people aware. But listen, that penalty has been paid. And this is not the time of God alienating you or exiling you. This is the time of restoration. So the same God that put them in exile and the same God that let them suffer had promised he would restore them, and he makes them aware. This is the time of restoration. Amen. In other words, the exile is over. God's given you every reason to rejoice, and you can come back. And they begin to have joy and praise God because they realize this is the thing that God also promised. He promised to punish us, but he also promised to forgive us if we would turn our hearts. So they have great rejoicing in this and that, and it's just a really good time. And I say all this to make this point. We read this scripture. We see this a lot today. You know, they set up booths and they have a good time. They set up tents and they have a good time. And, you know, a lot of people would just leave it right there. They say, well, listen, we got together. We had church. We were having a good time. We rejoiced. We shouted, praise God. We're going to walk out of here. What a wonderful time we've had. And a lot of people leave it there. Well, we got done with the meeting and everybody's happy and everybody's feeling good. That's all there is to it. But the very last verse says that after the end of 7 weeks, they begin to have a solemn assembly. And you go read the next chapter. About 3 weeks later, they have another solemn assembly. And they spend, it's wonderful because some people don't have time for anything for God. But these people, they spent a fourth part of the day reading the word. And they spent a fourth part of the day confessing the sins, their sins and the iniquities of their fathers to God. And they begin to rehearse all that God had done from the time of Moses, how God had blessed them and they forsook God. So God sent them judges and they forsook God. And God let enemies come in and they called on God and God restored them and they forsook God. It's just this pattern that just happens over and over. They realize every time God did something for them, they turned their hearts from God. And every time God did something for them, they turned their hearts from God. And finally, God said, you know what? That's fine. You want to go this way? I'm going to bring upon you the things I said would happen to you. And so they acknowledge, listen, we understand all this calamity, all these things that happened to us. It was terrible. God made us pay double for our sins. And yet they acknowledge, but you know what? God was just in that he did it. Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, we went through things nobody should have to go through. But you know what? God let it happen to us because we were stubborn and he was just to let it happen. He was not wrong. He was not out of order to do it. We deserved everything that happened. And now we've come back to God and they've made a dedication. Listen, God let all this happen to us and God was gracious enough to bring us back. Let's not mess it up again. And so they make another covenant. They rededicate themselves to God, that they're going to follow God. And this is the reason I point all this out. You know, we come to church and we really place a premium on having a good time at church. We want to have a good time at church and we want to praise God and we want to rejoice and we want to run the aisles and we want to go out of there and we want to have fellowship and we want to have a good time. We want the joy of the Lord. And then we all want all that stuff and we're so happy about that. And listen, those things are not bad things, but I want you to understand these people had joy, but that joy produced a fruit in their life. Right. It produced the fruit of obedience. Amen. A lot of people go to church and they get happy and they can shout and dance and have a good time and they don't live any different afterwards. And that's altogether contrary to what happened here. Oh man, I thought you'd be like, well, praise God, that's not me, so I can praise God anyhow. Man, you shouldn't get all beat up already. Well, here we are tonight. I guess I'm here to make everybody feel bad. Praise God. Well, anyhow, listen, they had joy in their life, but the fruit of that joy was a closer obedience to the word of God. They could rejoice 1 week and share good tidings, and a couple weeks later, they're fasting and they're repenting in sackcloth and ashes. And I see a lot of the first part going in churches. A lot of people want to go to church. And if you don't preach them happy every service, if you're not running and shouting, they didn't have church. And I see a lot of people get happy in church, but I don't see a lot of people repenting in church. I don't see a lot of people getting closer to God. They'll shout and have a good time and rejoice. And we had the best services ever. And the power of God really come down. And they don't live any different than they did 10 years ago. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Could it be that people are having joy? It's just not the joy of the Lord. Listen, you can get joy from other things. The Bible talks about the joy of the hypocrite. Listen, Pentecostals get joy when they go to church. Amen. But they don't want to obey the word. Amen. They don't want to submit to God in a greater way. Well, hallelujah. It's like I always say, some people, they worship God, and some people worship. Some people worship their pastor, and some people worship their church, and some people worship the worship band or whatever it is. Amen. There is a difference. And Brother Bram talked about Pentecost. He said when they started to cool off, they got to a place when the music was hopping, they had joy. And they could shout and they could dance, but as soon as the word come forth, they cooled off on you. Amen. By the time the service was over, the glory was gone. Ichabod. The glory of God departed. Why? Because they weren't getting joy because God was in their midst. They were getting joy because they were being entertained. Well, hallelujah. You know, I read a quote here some time ago. Brother Bram talks about the David. See, no, David never lost his salvation, but he lost the joy of his salvation. He tried to find it other places. He tried to replace it. And Brother Bram said, that's 95% of the church today. Now, years ago when I read that and I was a little bit younger, I used to think, well, that's because everybody walks around at church with their hands dragging on the ground and wowsy, wowsy, woo. And my life is terrible. But you know what I found out when I got a little bit older? Not everybody looks like they don't have joy. A lot of people come to church and they have joy, but it's not the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of their fellowship or the joy or whatever else. Everything they do makes them happy, but to have the presence of God doesn't instill anything in them. And that's why they don't live any different than they lived before. Well, praise the Lord. Brother Bram said, Laodicea, they can dance and jump around. Amen. Brother Bram says, the Bible didn't say they were ice cold. Somebody help me out tonight. Listen, it's not that they're just sitting there with their arms folded. Laodicea goes to church. They're lovers of God. They just love pleasure more. They can have a good time. They can go to church. They're miserable, but they don't realize it. 95%, it's not because they're aware. They don't even realize they've lost their joy and they've found something to replace it with. Amen. So it's not that people don't have joy at all. They just don't have the joy of the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord would make them live right. Yeah, well, they would jump, but they would live as high as they can jump. Amen. They would pray they pray outside of church like they do in church. They confess God outside of church like they do in church. Amen. You get a man on fire for God, listen, you can't put him out. His circumstances won't put him out. His situations and his neighbors and people making fun, nothing's going to put that man out because he's on fire. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, these people, they didn't have to manufacture anything. Amen. They weren't trying to just have one great time after another. They could have joy and they could have mirth and they could repent and they could have a solemn assembly. They'd reckon with their iniquity. They'd come closer to God. Amen. And that's the zeal of this hour, is to be zealous and repent. Amen. So that's why I see a lot of what passes for joy in church, but I don't see a lot of repentance. And as a minister, it's alarming because we all want a touch from God. Amen. Listen, nobody came in here tonight and said, you know what? I don't want God to come by my way. Everybody wants a touch from God. Everybody wants to hear from God. Everybody wants to be healed. But no one wants to repent. No one wants to be more obedient to God. We all want something from God, but nobody wants to give anything back to Him. Well, praise the Lord. None of us wants to admit we're wrong. And that's what the zeal of the hour is, to say, I am wrong. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I had a... Yeah, I don't know. Tell me about it. I'm gonna give you an earful tonight. I had a married couple. They come to me a while back for some advice, and the wife, she was telling me about this bad day, and she'd had this bad attitude, and this and that. And well, the devil did this, and I was feeling down, so the devil did that. And I stopped her, said, I'm confused, sister. I said, I thought you needed marriage advice. Apparently, you just need delivered because everything that's wrong in your marriage is the devil's fault. It's not your fault. You never did nothing wrong. That's what she told me the whole time. Well, the devil did this and the devil. What about you? Sure. Listen, I'm saying something tonight. We all want to blame somebody else. We'll even blame the devil. Listen, it's not the devil. You went out to him. Yeah. Nobody wants to say, you know what? I was the one. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We'll blame everybody else. And it's real popular nowadays. We're going to beat the devil up. We're going to show him. Because listen, as long as you blame him for all your problems, you don't have to own up to it. You don't have to get down and repent and say, you know what, Lord? I was wrong. And I'm going to do what these people did. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to drive my stake in the ground tonight. I'm not going to live like that anymore. I'm not going to live in this cycle that my fathers created and their fathers created and their fathers created. And we make excuses and we carry chips on our shoulders and we wonder why we can't get the victory. It's because you refuse to lay it down.
Amen. That's true. Yeah. Amen. Sure
thing. Oh, we're having a revival. I believe in a bride's revival. You believe in a bride's revival? Listen, if we're having a bride's revival, let me ask you now, what kind of revival is it in the first place? Because revival, in Brother Bram's own day, revival was just a buzzword, we would call it. Oh, we're having great revival. He said, they're not having revival. Well, praise the Lord. What is a revival? So in order for you to have a revival, you must acknowledge there has been a decline in the Spirit of God. Somewhere you were here and you moved away from God. So revival is not, oh man, we just had a great time. Revival is, I got back right with God. I got closer to God, amen. How can you preach a bride's revival without saying you need to repent, that you've gotten away from God?
Sure.
See, these people realize, listen, God's restored us. Let's not get away from Him again. And this holy unction that God had fostered in their hearts, it moved them to seek after God even more, not less. Well, listen, we got the word. We don't need to pray like we used to. We don't need to seek God like we used to. That's all the more reason. Well, listen, the word's been restored. How much more important then is it for you to hold fast to the words which we have heard?
Praise God.
Listen, the temple had been restored. I don't think we need a restoration of the word today. We don't need a restoration of how to serve. Listen, we've had a prophet come and do that. We know how to serve God. We know what the word says. We know that these things have been restored. But you know what? Their temple was restored. Their wall was restored. But some of their homes weren't restored. Some of them were still indebted. Some of them were still slaves. Some of them were still, they defiled the priesthood. So God had brought them that point, and Nehemiah and the people, they joined together. Listen, let's keep going on. They had a priesthood and they had people in slavery that they weren't where they were supposed to be. That was not the time to stop. That was the time to seek God even more fervently. You cannot have a revival without repentance. Amen. You cannot follow Christ unless you're willing to deny yourself and take up your cross. So there's more to Christianity than just rejoicing. Amen. If you're just a Christian, as long as you're blessed and you feel good, then you're not a disciple. You're just entertained. Amen. Well, you can tell Andrew I was mean to you, I guess. Brother Bram says this. He said, I'm afraid we made it too easy. He says, I think joy, certainly I believe all the joy lays in Jesus Christ. That's right. I believe it's joyful and happy. But remember, brother, it's the way of agony and suffering in the cross. You must realize that too. That's right. I wonder if we haven't painted it a little too smooth. Well, listen, you come to God, you serve God, you're just going to have a grand old time. Everything's going to go your way, and everybody's going to love you, and you're going to be accepted. Get real. What are you talking about? Are we reading the same Bible? Well, everybody's going to like you. Oh, they're all going to speak well of you. Jesus said, well, that's what they did to the false prophets before you. Oh, they love false prophets. Man, they're the best preacher in Israel today, and they're a great man. He's only 99% on the word, but yeah, we like him. And here comes a little Hosea, and here comes a little Jeremiah, and they didn't like that guy. Why? Because he told them the truth. He told them, listen, you got away from God. Praise the Lord. In the book of Exodus, the 15th chapter, Moses, he's taking the people out of Egypt, and they get to the Red Sea. We know the story, you know, they get to the Red Sea, and God opens the sea, and they pass through, and the Egyptians are crushed, and they go out, and they never... God tells me you're never going to see this enemy again after this day. And so we know the story. Moses begins to sing a song and Miriam grabs a tambourine and they all begin to rejoice and they're all having a great time. And the Bible tells us in the 22nd verse, after all this happens, Moses brought Israel to the Red Sea and they went out from it into the wilderness of Shur and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. That's all it took, man. You don't know where I'm going. Did I give you my notes? I don't remember. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" These are the same people on Sunday. They were praising God. They thought God is great. He's destroyed these Egyptians. We're not going to see our taskmasters again. And 3 days later, oh, why'd God bring us here to die? Aren't there enough graves in Egypt? Why did we come all the way? It took them 3 days to lose their victory. Well, praise the Lord. That's how some people are. They come to church Wednesday. Well, man, I wish God would have stayed with me this week. Well, maybe you should have took him with you in the first place. Exactly. Takes them 3 days to lose their victory. 3 days and they give up already. Oh, man, God was so good 3 days ago. Was he good today? Oh, but listen, I got some bitter waters. Listen, the bitter waters is not the problem. Your grumbling's the problem. 3 days ago, they were singing and dancing. Now they're sitting there complaining to Moses. We ain't got nothing to drink. It's too bitter and how disappointing. We finally get here and we finally find some water after 3 days. We can't even drink the water we found. All that gusto left them real quick. They were all, it's like I said, they were all sailing, no anchor. Hey man, when the winds were blowing, they were fine. But as soon as it stopped, oh, wowsy, wowsy, whoa. You know, perhaps God, in his infinite wisdom, did not allow you to see every trial that you would ever go through when you got saved. Maybe you're the exception tonight. When you come to the Lord and you got saved, you didn't let you see everything you'd go through. You know why? Because most of us probably wouldn't have wanted to be a Christian if we saw everything we were going to go through at once. We'd be like, man, I don't know what I'm signing up for. Amen. Well, hallelujah, somebody. I don't know. Many times we come to bitter waters. We come to unexpected trouble. We just had victory. We just got something from God. And we get to some trouble. And the first time trouble pops up, we're yelling. And we're screaming. And we're fussing. Well, where's God in this? And why can't God show up? And I thought he was faithful. Man, it's been 3 days. 3 days and you give up. All that rejoicing is a distant memory. Listen, that's not the time to murmur. That's not the time to get mad. That's the time to do what Moses did. You know what Moses did? He cried out to God. Sure. He yelled at someone to get mad. Yeah, God, you know, he brought me out. It was all a trap. It's just a big trap and nothing's... The Bible says he cried unto the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute. And an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments. Now listen, he gave the commandments. Are you going to give ear to, are you going to listen to what he has to say? Amen. It's not God's not speaking, it's are you listening? If you give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's this scripture, these bitter waters. When this happens, God says, I'm Jehovah Rapha. I'm the Lord your healer. Listen, he allows them to come to bitter waters, and then he sweetens those waters to prove them and to prove that he is a healer. Now, I just think that's pretty interesting. You know, here's some yucky water. They don't have a life straw. Well, they got a life tree, though. God sent them a tree. They get bitter waters. He sweetens the water and says, by the way, I'm a healer. And I'm thinking, what's one got to do with the other? What's got everything to do with it? Amen? Now, he's talking about the natural diseases that he put on the Egyptians. And I believe God's a healer of the body. About 2 years ago, we had service. I believe in divine healing. We all believe in divine healing. But God brings them to this place. Amen. And listen, I'm a witness of it. And it's not just a spiritual metaphor. But he is also a healer of the spiritual condition. Absolutely. He brings them here and they begin to grumble. He says, listen, I'm the Lord that heals all your diseases. I can heal your body. I can heal your spirit. I can heal your soul. Amen. When you read about it in the Greek, Jesus would that you would be made whole. Sozo. He wants you to be whole. It's more than just healing you up. He wants you to be a complete person because that's what he paid for you to be.
He did it.
Amen. So it's interesting. He takes these waters of all things and says, you know what? This is the time I'm going to reveal myself, Jehovah Rapha. The Lord is my healer. Because it's not just about the physical. These people in Jerusalem in the book of Nehemiah, They needed healing for their nation, amen? They had been brought up, but they realized there were still things that were laying in their life, things from their families, things from their past, things from the time they were slaves. And they needed God, they needed a healing for the situations they'd gone through like that, amen? So we look today, he's Jehovah Rapha, amen? We believe he's still the same today, amen? Listen, that was the very thing that Dr. Best, Brother Bosworth, challenged him on. Or do the seven redemptive names of Jehovah apply to Jesus today? Because if they do, then he's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still Jehovah Rapha. He's still a healer today. But not only is he a healer today, he was a healer before there was one sickness. Because before there was a sickness, there was a healer. Before there was one sin, there was a Savior. Not only is he the healer today, he's actually the healer. Now, this is what I'm coming to tonight. He's the healer in a greater world. In the new heavens, in the new earth, he's still Jehovah Rapha. Now, you might say, well, why does he need to be that there? Well, because he is no matter where. He's at one. He always was. But you know, in the new heavens and the new earth, he's still a healer. Think about this. Look, the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter tells us that there's waters in the New Jerusalem. You read it before? There's a river there. It's as clear as crystal. It runs from the throne of God in the midst of the street. And on either side is a tree of life. And Brother Branham says this about it. And of course, you can read it in Revelation 22 as well. But Brother Branham says this in the Future Home message. He says, up and down here will be the redeemed. There will be houses of pure gold. There will be avenues and parks and gardens. And the river of life come trickling out from the throne of God, running down through little chasms and over the terraces. And the tree of life will be blooming in every yard and bear its fruits 12 times a year, a changed fruit every month. Notice this, the kings of the earth shall come in to bring their honor, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. He's still a healer, folks. The healing of the nations. When the kings are living in peace out there, they go out, they pick a leaf off like that, like the dove come back. So the wrath of God has been settled and brought the holly leaf into the ark. So when the king leaves, by bringing his glory into the bride's chamber, into the city, he'll hold a leaf to his neighbor king and say, we're in peace forevermore. Think about that. He says this, amen. Healing of the nations. It's all settled. One time we fought for one another's blood, brother. We've cherished and hollered and shot and burnt children, everything. But now there is peace. Amen. The healing. Notice, not disease healing. It's all done. Healing of the nation. What kind of a healer is he? In a world where there's no sickness. There's no physical maladies. He's the healer of their spirits. He's the healer of the nations. In other words, these two nations, they were at war. They've got a bloody history. They never got along. But over there, they'll be at peace. And that's their healing. See, in order for some healing to take place, it has to take place between two nations. Amen? Well, let me take it a step further. In order for some healings to take place, there has to be peace between two people. Amen. They have to make peace for that to be their healing. And if the nations would have to make peace, what about individuals? Amen. I was thinking about this when I was studying. You know, Paul was gathered one day when they put him on his head on the Roman chopping block. They put him there and they cut his head off, and he gets on the other side of glory, and he sees all the different saints of his age waiting for him, and they probably all welcomed him like they did Brother Branham. Oh, precious brother! It's our precious brother Paul, our beloved brother Paul! And there's a man standing there looking at him by the name of Stephen. And Stephen's looking at him. You know what? Stephen say, there's that scumbag that had me killed on earth. Man, I'm still mad at him. Listen, there's no funny feeling. There's no animosity. Our precious brother, Paul, precious brother, Stephen, not one animosity, not one variance. Listen, Paul wasn't walking around next week. Stephen come up and said, hey, by the way, remember that time you killed me? Yeah, that was pretty bad. Not one thing. Why? Because the healer of the nations completely healed that. Not one funny feeling, not one animosity. You say, well, that's over there. I think God can do the same today. Yeah. Amen. We've got stuff. We carry stuff around. Maybe it happened to you 50 years ago. I don't know. We carry stuff around like a bunch of baggage. You need a healing from the one that heals the nations. Well, listen, this person's not here. This, that. Maybe they don't want nothing to do with you. That doesn't mean you can't make peace with it. Right. You can make it right. You don't have to live that way.
That's exactly right.
There's only harmony there. There's no, man, that's that guy that did me wrong there. Amen. Listen, Brother Bram said, the sickest body I know is the body of Christ. And the reason he said it is because he said it's all broke up, all this. It needs a spiritual healing, he said. Wasn't just talking about the maladies and the sicknesses and the coughs and the COVID. Talking about the fact that they don't get along. They got a bunch of baggage and they got pasts. My concern today is in the body of Christ for the wounded, not just the wounded in body, but the wounded in spirit tonight. Amen? Because many times the spiritual damage we carry on is worse than the physical one. You say, well, I don't know about that, brother. Well, the Bible says, you should know I come prepared. I always bring my receipts. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, verse 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Is that right? Listen, Brother Bram talks about you take a person and they've got the right attitude, they can be sick. But if they, and science has proven, if they're in a hospital and they've got a good attitude, they're so much more likely to recover than the person just doesn't want to go on. You can give them a head cold, but if they don't want to live, they're not going to live. If a man, his spirit is strong, even in his infirmity, his spirit will sustain him. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? Amen? How many times do we allow a wounded spirit to affect our approach to people in church? How often do we let scars in our past make decisions for our present? Maybe we grew up in a certain home, and you see it often, you know, this person, maybe they were misled, they were treated wrong, and they'll take it right into their adult relationships. They were abused by daddy. You know what they do? They grow up and abuse their kids. Now, if you didn't like it, you'd think you would stop. But they carry a wound. Amen. If mom and dad weren't faithful, they grow up and they run around on each other with their future spouse. Why? Because there's damage there. Because logically, you'd think they would do the opposite. But they're hurt. And a wounded spirit, who can bear? Amen. You take two people, and that's the thing. You take, I'll just say this. I had a grandma and a grandfather like that. You know, they were married for years, but they weren't united. Amen. They were married in name, but their relationship, they were as far apart as two people could be. Had nothing to do with it. He was gone all the time. Why? Because my grandma, one time when they were first married, made fun of him, said something about him that upset him at the dinner table. He never forgave him for that the rest of his life. Now you say, well, that's pretty severe. How often are we guilty of doing the same thing? We just won't admit it. Or have the preacher admit it for us behind the pulpit. But amen. Somewhere some hurt entered in and it never got healed. And they'll live together and be married, but they've drifted apart. And the same thing happens in churches. And the same thing happens in our lives. And there's so much spiritual sickness and hurt today. And rather than have an old-fashioned revival, we try to convince everybody we're spiritual and we're okay and we're the bride of Jesus Christ and I'm louder than this guy and I'm more spiritual than this guy. Well, hallelujah, anybody? What is a revival tonight? It's to get the trash out. And let me assert, maybe you didn't put the trash there. Is that okay? Because I got all this trash. Maybe you didn't even put it there. Somebody else did. But you still have to get it out. Listen, I didn't do this to me. I know you didn't, but you still got to get rid of it. It'll kill you if you leave it there. Yeah. Amen. Somebody left it behind for you. Well, it's not my responsibility. Well, you better do something about it. If somebody else stabs you and you don't bind it up, guess what? It doesn't matter whose responsibility it is. You're going to die. Listen, pretending it's not there is not how you overcome it. Listen, there's several times on tape, and usually it's a woman, sometimes it's a man. Brother Bram talks about it. And they were a nervous person. They've been nervous their whole life because like a dog scared them one time when they were a little kid. Listen, they didn't ask for the dog to scare them. They didn't say, you know what? I want to be a nervous person. I want the prophet to get me like, oh, man, I feel sorry for you. You're a nervous person. They weren't looking for that life, but that's what they got. But until they could give that to God and get a healing, they were going to live that way the rest of their life. And people, they hobble around spiritually. They hobble around with wounds because they won't get healed because they won't give it to God. They want to nurse it. They want to fuss about it. They want people to feel sorry for them, but they don't want healed. Amen. I want you to consider something tonight. Pain is not always a bad thing. Pain can let you know when something is wrong. Pain tells you when you're doing something wrong. Oh, I should put my hand on this hot burner. It's really bad for me. Yeah, I know. We get all broke up sometimes. We get nervous. And what we do is we just ignore it. Or we try to cover it up. Or we're going to fake it till we make it. What we ought to do instead of doing all that, or trying to change our behavior, maybe we should stop and ask the question, why am I dealing with this? Lord, why do I feel this way? Maybe your spirit is trying to tell you something's wrong. Oh, my. Listen, I spent several months last year in pain. My arm hurt, and then my other arm hurt, and then my chest hurt, and then I found out I was fixing to die. Gonna have a heart attack. Well, I didn't have one, praise God. You say, what are you getting at, brother? Listen, I could not look in the mirror and discern by my senses that I had some sort of blockage. But the body let me know something's wrong. Listen, lots of people, they don't have that. They can go along just fine, don't feel a thing, and drop dead. I don't look at my pain and say, man, that hurt. I wish it didn't hurt like that. I'm so glad I did. It's probably saved my life. And sometimes we get all upset. Why am I this way? God trying to show you something. And you're not paying attention. Listen, happiness is a good thing. We should enjoy it. We should desire it. But happiness isn't everything. Brother Tom, there's a big problem with happiness. We were just talking about this the other day. Happiness is a terrible catalyst for change in your life. Because if you're in a dead-end job or a loveless home and you're happy with it, you'll stay right in that condition. You won't pray. You won't try to improve it. You won't do nothing. Oh, I'm just as happy as can be. Listen, the people in Noah's day were just as happy as could be till the rain fell. Oh, I'm so happy. I love everything. Everything is great. No, it's not always great. Sometimes it's really bad. You live in Laodicea. Happiness is a terrible catalyst for change or growth. Losing it might be a good one. When you are happy and you get unhappy, you get motivated. You get mad. You start looking for an answer. You say, you know what? I don't like where I'm at right now. Good. Because God don't want you to stay there. Listen, we all know people. They're in terrible shape spiritually, but praise God they're happy. Oh, they're just as happy as a clam. You couldn't take the joy out of their life, and they're as far away from God as could be. Amen? They're more, it's not so much they're happy, they think they're happy. And as long as they think they're happy, they'll stay right there. Amen? That's a dangerous place to be when you are happy. You know what's even worse? When you're happy and everybody else around you is miserable. And they're miserable because you're making them. Well, praise God, I'm happy. Yeah, because you're making everybody miserable. No one wants to be around you. Well, praise God, I'm happy about the whole thing. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, if I'm a husband, I say, well, I'm happy, but my wife and kids hate my guts. That's not a good situation. Brother Justin, help me out, man. I'm being honest with you for a minute. Listen. If you're ignorant of your problem, that's not a good place to be. You need a wake-up call. And sometimes in your spirit, you get so distraught and broke up. Why am I going through this? Maybe God's trying to get your attention. Listen, my desire is not to live a life free of pain, because a life devoid of pain is a life devoid of meaning. Listen, I need my pain. It's part of what makes me who I am. We have been promised if we would suffer with Him, we will reign with Him. Amen. Amen. That pain in my life reminds me I need Him just as much today as I did yesterday. I need Him more today than I've ever needed Him before. that causes you to do like Paul, to humbly say, you know what? Oh, wretched man that I am. You know what? I've been serving God for, I don't know how many years Paul had been serving God at that point, but he'd been serving God for years, starting churches. And you know what he said? Wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? I tell you what, there's some days I wake up and I look in the mirror and I say, man, I can't stand that guy. He drives me nuts. Sometimes I wish he'd just shut up a little bit. Why? Because God wants you to remember, this is still a past house. You're not made for this world. Oh my. I ask you now, what profit is there in suffering? Why do we suffer? So that we learn not to be slaves to pleasure. What profit is there in hardship? So we're not in bondage to ease. A person, they're so adverse to pain, to hardship, they become a slave to that comfort. That's the generation we live in. And you hurt somebody's feelings and they're not going to leave their safe space. You ain't going to do nothing with your life. You're afraid of everything. And people, they're slaves. They're in bondage to ease. If it don't make me happy. There are men in this Bible that preached this gospel. And they stood for God. They weren't slaves to ease. Man, they suffered. They were hated. Why? Because they weren't slaves to the conditions and the comfort. They were slaves of God. Prisoners of Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, you say, well, brother, sound like you're miserable. No, I'm not really miserable. Sometimes I am. Hey, I'll give you this. I'd rather be miserable and know it. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, I'd rather suffer here and rejoice there than rejoice here and suffer there. Because listen, you get trouble. Listen, tonight, let me just say it this way. Sometimes as a Christian, you get broke up and you get upset about things. And you sit there and say, why, God? Why do I feel so miserable? Listen, you're better off than Laodicea. They're always miserable and they never know it. At least you recognize it. That already proves you're different. Right. That proves you're different. They're miserable too, but they're always miserable and they never know it once. You don't want to be in that category. That's the lukewarm guy. Jesus said the righteous don't need a physician. It's the ones that are sick. Now listen, he had a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees and they were the sickest people in the world, spiritually speaking. They were full of dead man's bones and excess, but they never acknowledged it. Amen. Listen, God does not lead us tonight. He doesn't lead us to hardship and trouble to destroy us, but to prove us. Because he's still Jehovah Rapha. Amen. Many times we come to trouble, and a lot of times we made it for ourselves. And we grumble and we complain just like them. Why is this happening to me? Well, probably maybe because you did it to yourself. Maybe not. I don't know. There's different reasons. But when you come to that trouble and you come to problems, the grumbling and complaining and pretending it's not there doesn't fix anything. You know what does fix it? The tree. Amen. Amen. There's a tree for you. Just like they had back there. Jehovah Rapha hung on a tree. There's a tree for you today. And if you take that tree and put it in the midst of whatever you're going through, it'll sweeten the whole situation. Amen. Brother Ram said, there they were. The waters were bitter. They couldn't drink, but God provided a way. A little old tree swinging there on the bank. Moses just cut it down, throw it in the water, changed the whole thing. Good, sweet water. Now, when you come up against one of your bitter waters or something another like that, there's a tree tonight. Spiritually speaking, it's hanging over Golgotha, over the world tonight that'll sweeten any bitter waters that you may be led by. Amen. Calvary will sweeten any experience. I'm going to let that hang for a second. Because some of you are going through something. Listen, Calvary will sweeten any experience. Amen. Many times we get into hard places and wonder how. So I shut my eyes sometime. I think yonder on Golgotha, where my Redeemer bled and died for my life. Then my trial seems so little. I just throw it aside and walk on. It makes it sweet. It sweetens every experience I've ever had. He always sweetens it when I come to my waters of Marah. Amen. I want you to take a few moments tonight. Amen. Think about this consolation that he can give. He gives a consolation. No man can give it and no man can take it away. And we could sit here and try to placate ourselves with wishful thinking and empty promises and just trying to fake it till we make it. Or we could recognize we have a real earnest need tonight. Amen. Maybe you need a healing. Well, listen, if you need it tonight, the tree's not hanging over there in Jerusalem today. The life is right here now. We get contrite, we get discouraged, we feel it unease. Lord trying to tell us something a lot of times. So do the things that bring us joy bring us closer to God? Or is it just a way to cover up that wound, that pain that we have? Is it just a pleasant diversion to not have to pay attention? Amen. What we need today is a healing. Maybe it's for your spirit. Maybe it's for your past. Maybe it's for your home or your family. I mean, these people had a solemn assembly. And they said, look, we realize our great need. And I wonder tonight if we could be reverent and sincere for just a moment. Amen. Because we want to have the nature of Christ. Amen. Listen, people, they get hurt and they project it onto others. Amen. The Bible says, let us be peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. We shouldn't be the hardest people on earth to get along with. Amen. The Bible says to be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Which one of us guys wants to walk out here? I'm the most tender-hearted guy in church. Nah, we're too macho for all that. We ain't going to be nice. We don't want to be... Praise the Lord. Well, I'm glad Jesus isn't like that to us. You know why? Because we're projecting something because we got hurt somewhere. Trying to be something. But somebody needs us to be something. There's people in our lives you need in your life to not be that person. Do not let hurt make decisions for you the rest of your life. Amen. And then make decisions for our kids and our kids' kids and our kids' kids' kids, if the Lord would tarry. We'll go into a situation with all the right intentions and we begin to speak out of that hurt in our life and we'll ruin the whole thing. Well, I just don't know what happened. Well, you're probably carrying something. You're bleeding all over the place what you're doing. Don't even realize it half the time. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as we have been forgiven. Amen. There's a great power of healing and forgiveness. Not just you being forgiven, forgiving others. So you know what? I'm not going to allow the rest of my life to be determined by the actions of others that hurt me. Amen. That's all you've done. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to get... You let somebody else make decisions for you than God. You've let pain. You know what? When you hurt, let's say you hurt your leg. Listen, you can't help it. You hobble around. That pain changed how you walked. Amen. Don't walk out of here a half person tonight. There's so many people. Now I'm just ranting, I guess, but I see it so many times in marriages and things. You get a young man and he's half a man. He's not really gotten that place with the Lord where he's a complete person. He's got baggage in his life. He's got wounds. He never really gave his life all the way to the Lord, but he's looking for something to make him happy. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for some woman somewhere. What he needs is a man and not the way the world says. He needs Jesus Christ. You get a woman that's hurting, a man that's hurting, you put them together. They don't fix each other. They just hurt each other. They need Christ. They need a healing, or it'll carry on. It'll carry on. As you stand to your feet tonight, I just want to take a few moments. Now, you all come out of different situations, and I'm not here to play armchair psychologist with you tonight. Hey, man, I just don't have time for it. I should charge a better rate, I guess. Charge $40. I don't know how much psychologists charge, but I don't have a degree, so. I'm not here to do all that tonight, but you know what? Christ is here. And I'm not telling you not to do or whatever. What I'm saying is, if you've got something in your life tonight, you're carrying it around. You've carried it around maybe for years. Amen. You don't have to carry it around anymore. The nations in the new heavens and new earth that killed one another, they have peace. Say, listen, this person hurt me and they did me wrong and they were absolutely wrong. That might be. But I want to go out here wounded tonight because of somebody else. Amen. What are you singing, brother?
Longing for Jesus.
Yeah, go ahead and sing that for us, please. As we, let's just sing it for
longing for Jesus. I have a longing in my heart for Him. Just to be near Him, to feel His presence, I have a longing in my heart for Him. Oh yes, I'm longing.
Oh Jesus, I love You, Father.
Longing for Jesus. Oh, I have a longing in my heart for Him. Just to
Tonight, amen. Why don't we just bow our heads for a moment? Just be real reverent for just a few moments. It's okay just to be real solemn and take inventory for a minute. God wants us to do that. It'd be easy for us to all say, well, I want more of you tonight. That should be every one of us' desire. That's an easy thing to say. But where do we want more of them at? Let's just take a moment and say, Lord, maybe it's your temper. Maybe it's the unease you deal with. Maybe it's the regrets, whatever it is. Say, Lord, I want you to take that situation. Lord, maybe tonight you know, maybe there's a family member that's been hurt, and that hurt's taking them away from the Lord. You've prayed and you've prayed. They need a healing tonight. You believe that? They need a healing tonight. I believe the healing agent of God, I believe the Holy Ghost can go pass by that way. Let's just pray for the healer tonight to come on the scene. Heavenly Father, Lord, our prayer tonight is for more of you in that situation and that hurt that we've dealt with, or maybe this other loved one has dealt with, whatever it would be tonight. Lord, we've got bitter waters in our life. We all come to bitter experiences. Every one of us has come to those waters of Marah at one point or another. But tonight, may the precious tree that lifted up the Son of Man from the earth, may it come and sweeten our lives with humility. May it come and sweeten it in the gentleness of your Holy Spirit. May you help that marriage. May you help that temperament. May you help that one that's tormented and can't sleep at night. Whatever the need is tonight, Lord, if it's a physical need tonight, may you come, whatever the need is, and make them whole. Father, it's not up to you now, it's up to us to receive and to believe it and to confess it. We thank you for it. We cry unto you now as Moses did. We trust that you're still Jehovah Rapha. Bless these people, I pray. Bless them as they go from here. There wouldn't just be another service, but a healing for them. In Jesus' name. God bless you tonight. Have you given me the key of F? Let's sing this. It's 2:05 in your songbook. I think Justin's probably got the words, but near the cross. Let's sing this tonight before we go. Just think about what the Lord's done for you. Make this your prayer tonight as you sing it. Amen. Oh, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain free to all, a healing stream. just a moment as we sing this next verse.
Near the cross, a trembling.
Do you remember that night? Oh my.
His love and his mercy found.
I'm a witness of it tonight. Hallelujah.
It's there, the bride and morning star shed its peace around me, for it's in the
and wait. Hallelujah.
Oh, near the cross I'll watch and wait.
I
hope be trusting ever till
softly for a moment. Amen. God bless you tonight. We'll go ahead and dismiss you tonight. Go and in the fear of God. You love the Lord tonight? You love each other? You love your enemy? Praise the Lord. It's a good one too. Amen. Amen. If you need anything, we'd be happy to pray for you tonight. We commend you to the hands of God. Go from this place and not from his presence as we sing this chorus once more. God bless you tonight. Amen.
Oh, in the cross.